Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, gang? Patrick here, and we have another great conversation for you with the man who has won not once, not twice, but 3 times on the PGA Tour this season. I believe that means he has the most in 2026. That is 2022 U.S. Open champion Matt Fitzpatrick. Fitzy and I got into the U.S. Open, the course setup, how the fans treated Wyndham Clark, knowing that Fitzpatrick himself has been on the receiving end of some of those fan jeers and chirps and what have you. And so we talked a lot about that, as well as the state of his game, some equipment changes, and the big news that came upon the PGA Tour with the schedule changes coming in 2028. Hope you enjoy. So Matt, coming off the U.S. Open, obviously, how would you grade the week overall? Performance, fans, setup, all that jazz.
Yeah, U.S. Open's always a fun week. Obviously, always a great test of golf, regardless of wherever we play, to be honest. So, yeah, obviously would have liked a better weekend. Got myself in the mix there after 2 rounds, which was nice. But, yeah, just struggled off the tee on the weekend, and that kind of held me back from probably doing a little bit more damage. But, yeah, if you know, my poor week's a 22nd at a U.S. Open, it's not the end of the world. So,
what I saw you on the driving range with a number of different heads for the driver. What were you trying to find there?
Yeah, mine cracked at Truist. My title is cracked at Truist. So just been going through that process of, you know, trying to figure out what, you know, what is going to help me and what is going to be, you know, obviously try to find the same head is first of all. And, you know, Titleist has done a good job of getting those to me. It's just about trying to get that feeling back of, you know, the good feels I had earlier in the year and with the start line and whatnot. So, yeah, it's just obviously these things can take a little bit of time sometimes, and it's frustrating when the faces crack, but, it's obviously, you know, part of the world of golf, and you got to try and manage that as best you can.
Is it that difficult to find one with kind of the similar numbers you're looking for? Just because from the outside looking in, it's like, oh, it's just put the same head in play. It's got to be that simple. These guys have so many options at their disposal, but it sounds like between you and other guys, it's really quite a process.
Yeah, I think people don't necessarily understand the process of, you know, when the heads are built, you know, they're not exactly the same. There's always going to be some manufacturing error along the way, whatever that may be, if it's a gram here or there. I mean, I'm not saying that the weights aren't the same, but just various different points of the club that maybe half a degree difference, and that's where I was hitting it on the other golf club, and now it's giving me a funny number compared to the previous one. And so, yeah, there's always these things in play, and I think it is more complex than probably people think, that you can just kind of swap drivers out. But it's been, you know, it's obviously been some good learning in this whole process, and you know, hopefully kind of got somewhere with it.
Speaking of complex, what did you think about the setup at Shinnecock? I know after Thursday and maybe Friday, some people on the internet were streaming because that's what they tend to do. That's what they're best at. But it seems like the complexity of a setup for U.S. Open, the margins are so thin. How did you think the USGA did this week?
Yeah, I think obviously they probably had their hands tied a little bit for Thursday, Friday. I saw Rory say the same thing, that You know, they got 150 odd guys that they need to get through the field. Obviously, daylight became an issue on that Thursday with the fog that rolled in on Thursday morning. So, I think it was obviously disappointing to see the greens so sort of soft the first 2 days. Mind you, I played my best those first 2 days, so maybe it would have been better if it had stayed that way. But I think, yeah, I think, like I say, they had their hands tied, I think, the first 2 days, and it would have been nice to see it firmer and faster overall, I feel like. But the greens are so severe, so there's, you know, there's obviously a fine line of, you know, what they can and can't do there. So, yeah, I thought on the whole, they did a good job, and it was obviously a good US Open in the end.
And you've talked about how you like those tougher setups. Is that, you know, do you think the US Open matches your personality in the way, and can a golfer be quote unquote tough? In other sports, you can obviously play through injuries and stuff like that, but it's a question I've been mulling around. Can a golfer be tough?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess, you know, each to their own. And I wouldn't say that sort of my great results have necessarily come at 25 under par. You know, I know it's kind of all relative week to week, but I feel like my better results come when the, you know, winning score is closer to par. And I think that's more of a testament to my own game, the way that I've played all my life, which is probably a little bit more reliance on driving accuracy and you know, putting well. I feel like this year has been quite different, though. My irons have been, you know, much better than they have in the past of my career. So that obviously gives me a few more scoring opportunities. And if I can get the putter going, then, you know, hopefully I can take those as well. But I think the big thing for me was, you know, when it is difficult, you have to hit fairways. You know, if you're missing fairways and scrambling, it makes it difficult. At least if you are in the fairway, you can get it on the green, and two putt par is all of a sudden becomes a good score in these difficult conditions. And that's kind of the way I've always looked at it.
And then you played with Wyndham there on Saturday. Obviously Sunday, he was getting it from the fans pretty good. You're someone who has also been on the receiving end of some of the fans here in the U.S. How have you seen maybe the fans evolve since the time you came out on tour to now?
I mean, probably I've been more in contention, so you probably get a bit more of that. more recently anyway, compared to when I first came out. But yeah, I think probably the game has evolved in terms of an atmosphere. I think it's definitely got a little bit more rowdy. I don't know if that's because of, well, I couldn't even begin to guess what that could be because of. I don't know. Is there more alcohol sales? I don't know. But I think the big thing that I was noticing, particularly last weekend, it was very, very anti Wyndham to win, I would say. I said it already in the media this week. I think that I understand why that was the case and why they, didn't want him to win based off last year's his experience last year at Oakmont. But at the same time, you know, he handled it really well. I thought he handled it with class, and obviously proved everyone wrong and played very well over the weekend to close the deal.
The easiest thing you'll ever do is keep your car serviced with Roda.
That's a real 5-star Google review from Diana S. And honestly, she nailed it. Roda is the DMV's most trusted auto shop. Maintenance, repairs, and detailing with free valet pickup and drop off, no hidden fees and no pressure. Book in minutes at Rota.com and save 20% with code POD20. It's Rota. Duh.
Yeah, and then big announcement yesterday, obviously, with the PGA Tour and the changes coming in 2028. I guess big picture, what are your thoughts, some of the aspects you're excited for, maybe any concerns on your end either?
No, I don't think I have any concerns. You know, I've got a lot of trust in Brian to lead the way. I've been really impressed with him since I spent some time with him and had some conversations with him, and, you know, just seen what he's done for the tour already and the messages he's putting out there. I think it's the right way to go. I think obviously only time will tell as to whether it's the best way for everyone. I think obviously the PGA Tour is a lot about playing opportunities and having those for everyone. At the same time, it has to be a meritocracy, and the best guys have to, you know, you want the best guys playing, you know, as well as they can, as much as they can, you know, as much as they can in all these different tournaments. So I think that does that with the fact that guys are looking like they can't get down to you know, the Challenger Series and from the Championship Series. So I think that probably helps for the tournaments, knowing what they're going to get, you know, what they're investing in, and the sponsors as well as TV. Don't get me wrong, I can't imagine Rory McIlroy is going to be playing all 20 events. Neither is, you know, neither I might not be doing that.
Matt Fitzpatrick. You know, yeah.
I might not be doing that, but you'll pretty much guarantee that you're going to get a Jordan Spieth or a Scottie Scheffler or a Justin Thomas as to maybe fill those gaps when guys aren't there. So you're going to have some weeks where everyone's going to be there, and you're going to have some weeks where it's going to be kind of a split. And I think that's what's important, is at least sponsors and TV know kind of what they're going to get.
What do you think about the DP World Tour side of it and pushing guys maybe to some of those fall events? Because I think that part of the schedule on the DP World Tour in the fall is some of the best golf that golf fans can take in. And I found it to be one of the more exciting announcements from it, of maybe pushing some of those guys to an Irish Open or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting. I have a strong feeling for the DP World Tour, obviously, and that's where, you know, my career started over there. And my biggest thing is I wouldn't want it to just be, you know, pushed down the road that it's only the International Series. You know, I would say you would probably hear Rory say the same thing, that, you know, the Scottish Open shouldn't be the only DP World Series in the regular season for the PGA Tour. In my perfect view, the tours would come together, and you would maybe play the BMW Wentworth as well. Yeah. In the main regular season, you would go and play, I don't know, a rotation of maybe the Italian Open or, you know, the BMW Munich. There's a lot of great golf tournaments in Europe that, you know, to be brutally honest, would be better than a lot of tournaments on the PGA Tour. Like, that's just the way it is. You go into these fantastic places all over the world, and they're just as good, if not better than, you know, some of the tournaments over here. So I think for me to be able to incorporate that into this whole new system would be obviously really special. And I think it would be, you know, it'd be exciting if we could get there, but obviously that might be quite a few years away.
Not a fan of TPC Craig Ranch, I take it, or
that one I will actually come out and say is that was probably one of my least favorite events I played. I'm happy to say that.
Fair enough. I'm there with you. That is a tough one to watch, and that's on our network, so hopefully our overlords don't see that. In the vein of kind of this evolution topic that we're talking about, you're well known for tracking stats. It's kind of like your thing. You're brought up on a broadcast like Matt Fitzpatrick. This guy tracks every single shot that he hits. What's the biggest difference in how you look at golf courses, maybe from when you started as a professional to now as one of the top guys out there?
Yeah, obviously I've got different strengths now and different weaknesses compared to when I first came out on tour. I mean, I don't feel like too much has changed. You know, every week is a new game plan. You know, every week is a different test. It's testing different areas of your game, and you have to feel like you're ready to be able to compete with that. And I know this week, I think I hit two drivers on the back nine this week, whereas last week I think I might have hit maybe one or two fairway woods on the back nine off the tee, as opposed to, you know, only hitting two drivers. So this week is very different. Just like every week kind of presents a new challenge, and it's just using that data to try and hone in on, okay, what's the best prep for me to feel like I'm ready for that challenge.
And then you talked about how your game has changed. To me, one of the most addictive parts of golf is the improvement aspect of it, knowing you can always get better. Seems like you guys from junior golf, high school, amateur, it's always up and to the right, up and to the right. And even yourself in your professional career, you've gone up and to the right seemingly every single season. You've improved. When you go through a season where you take a step back or it's even stagnant, how difficult is that to kind of stomach and manage?
Yeah, it is really difficult. 2024 was really difficult for me. The start of last year was really tough. It's just been a really difficult thing when you're in those moments to kind of see you the way out of it. I think going forward, it's something that I'd probably try and use in terms of, well, this has felt like the lowest point, and I've managed to come through that and achieve some great stuff, you know, a year, 12 months, 18 months later. So I think there's obviously a confidence within that, that, you know, you can find solutions to the problems that you're facing. I think it's important to go about it in the right way. I think that's the biggest thing is, from a technical standpoint, it's probably the most important aspect of the game, that you have to be technically sound in order to hit shots that are going to match your intention. Mm-hmm. You know, you might be seeing a draw and it's coming out big draw, or a little draw, but it's coming out draw. So you know there's going to be something, versus, well, I want to hit draw, but it's fading, or it's a push cut, or it's a pull. It's when you don't know what's coming, it's obviously hard to sort of dictate what you want to do next. So I think for me, it's been in those times and kind of trying to take a step back and go, what's bad, what's good, where do I need to spend most of my energy trying to fix or improve things, and making a plan from there.
Yeah, you're talking like my game right now. Seeing a draw, hitting a fade, it's no fun. Where did you spend most of your time coming out of 24 and kind of 25? It seems like at the PGA at Quail, you really made the turn and turned the corner there.
Yeah, I mean, I started seeing kind of unfortunate circumstances in a way. I started seeing Mark Blackburn in April of 2025. He kind of started to help me there, and that relationship just continued basically obviously through till now. So I've worked with Mark for over a year, and that's been, you know, really successful period for me. And just feel my game has drastically changed from where it was in the past. So that's given me the confidence to, you know, keep pushing. And the big thing was my approach play and just giving myself more chances to make birdie. And on the weeks that you take those are your best weeks.
Chipping and pitching wise, what's the cutoff point for the crosshand?
Normally about 30 yards.
30? Yeah. Was that figured out just based on feel?
No, it's just more of a speed thing.
Okay.
A lob wedge from 30 yards is kind of hard to get the full speed out of it. So, it's more on that.
I mean, your pitching and chipping has been nuts this year. So well done. I've started tinkering with it.
Yeah.
It hasn't worked for me. A lot of blades across the green. With the cross hand, I feel like that's going to happen when you're trying to make that switch. Going from a major into a tournament like this, obviously under this new proposal, there's breaks in between the big events, which I'm sure you guys will love. But how different is the preparation this week, knowing I think this is four in a row for you as well, and you add in Muirfield and the U.S. Open, just grinds like that. How different is the prep for someone like yourself?
Yeah, it's more energy management. You know, it is definitely more energy management. I think this week in particular has been something that's obviously got to manage that more so, given it being number four. But even when you're playing at Muirfield week one, you know, you've got a big week at week three at US Open that you've got to be smart about, you know, not beating too many balls on the Thursday afternoon after a, you know, poor first round. So it's really important to manage that. It's something I've been focused on a lot this year and kind of felt the effects of it last year of kind of trying to manage the same thing. And feel like when you end up playing well, it's kind of two spectrums. When you're not playing very well, you end up playing a lot and it's fatiguing. And then when you are playing well, you don't play as much, but because you're in contention, then it is also fatiguing. So I understand why, you know, Scotty, Rory don't maybe play as much as most guys, because of, you know, being in that contention regularly, it can take a lot out of you. So it's just about trying to manage that the best way you can and still feel like you're ready to go for Thursday.
How different will it feel your final group Saturday at US Open? If your final group Saturday this weekend, how different will it feel to you?
It feels a lot different. Obviously less pressure. When you feel like you're going for a major, it's always that little bit of thought in your mind that, yeah, okay, I can do this. This is what this major means. This is how much it means to yourself. This is what it means for your career or everyone around you. And you know, it's no disrespect to the PGA Tour or the Travelers or any other events, but the majors are the, you know, pinnacle of golf, and those are the ones you want to win. So there's definitely a little bit less pressure, I feel like, on you know, regular events.
And then I can't imagine there's a better tournament to come to than the Travelers. Feels like everyone I talk to raves about it and how they take care of you guys and your caddies and the rest of your team. So how excited are you for this weekend, even though it is 4-4 for you?
Yeah, I love the Travelers. It's such a nice week. Stay in a great hotel. Golf course is nice. Hospitality is great this week, food and stuff. And I think that's what makes it just, it's nice that it's week four. Week one, it might be a little bit too relaxing, to be honest. But week four, it's kind of a nice taper and end to the stretch. So, yeah, always enjoy it and come in here and, you know, playing a good tournament.
And then final question. We talked about the grind a lot. When you get outside golf, away from the game, what's something that you find helps refuel that tank for you?
I think just time away from the game, you know, just putting the clubs away and just having a good break, thinking about other things, you know, other things that have got going on in my life and, you know, spending time with family, friends. Big football fan, so you know, watching a lot of football, particularly the World Cup and stuff at the minute. So yeah, doing a bit of everything that doesn't involve golf.
Yeah, love to hear it, man. Well, I think that's all we got for you, Matt. Best of luck this week and the rest of the year.
Awesome, thank you.
Paramount Podcasts.